Can you see what God is doing? Can you see what God is doing? Do you feel what God is doing? Do you know what God is doing? God is at work, and His handiwork is obvious. Sometimes it's not so easily seen if we get distracted in our eyes off of the Lord and onto the flesh and onto worries and doubts and fears of life. But God is at work, nonetheless. God is on the move. God is knowing our very need. And He does not fail to meet us where we need Him to. He never fails. There is not a moment, not a second in all of history and all of time that God has ever failed. God is at work. I want to go to the Lord in prayer over the message today. Heavenly Father, we come to You today, and we thank You, Lord, so much for Your presence with us every moment. Lord, You know exactly where we're at and exactly what we're here to do. You know our hearts. You know why we're here in this appointed time, here and now, in Your presence. And Lord, we ask that Your will be done, that we would receive Your word, that I would deliver Your word as You have purposed and planned, under Your anointing, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, and that You would help Your people, all of us, to receive Your word as You have planned and purposed, under the anointing and by the power of Your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And all the glory and the praise and the honor, it is Yours, Lord, forevermore. Amen. You could turn with me today to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And if you would, stand with me in the reading of God's word. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. The title of the message the Lord has given me today is Sent to a Desert Place. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, the word of God, this word of eternal life, now says to us, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go to the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." God bless your word. You may be seated. God bless your hearing of God's word. There are some things I would like, and I believe God would like, for us to take home today from this message. One of those things is that God is not limited. God is not limited. If you're writing that down, these are one of the things that we need to remember. The second one is God sends us. So first of all, God is not limited. Number two, God sends us. Then number three, God guides us. God guides us, number three. And number four, God prospers us. God prospers us. So, friend, I want to share a testimony about the direction of the Holy Spirit that I heard this week. It was a beautiful moment in time for me, let alone what happened with the person who was testifying about God's goodness. This young woman was about 20-something, early 20s, mid-20s. And she shared that she was on a search for God. This woman wanted to testify of God's goodness. And this is what, this is how she prefaced her words. She said, and this, my friends, this is why you always listen to the prompting of the Lord. That's how she started this. And then she described how she was in search of the presence of God because she needed to feel his presence. She was desperate for the presence of the Lord. And she said to God, I know I can't go by the flesh because sometimes we just don't feel him close. But that never means he is not close. But she said, Lord, I know I don't need to be going on the flesh, but I just need you. I need you right now. I need to feel you physically. I need to feel your presence tangibly. I need to see you. And then she said she goes to a place where she drives this near the Appalachian Trail on one of those like park highways near where she lives. And she was traveling along, and the way she said this was that she worships God loud. When she gets in her car, she turns that music up, and she said it was blaring. And she had her windows down, and she was worshiping God as she went on her way up this scenic highway, where she often went to visit with God when she was in this situation, feeling just this way. And you have a place like that, where you like to go, and you like to sit a minute in the presence of the Lord. It's not just always the random anywhere you're at, where he is always with us. But then there's times and places that are appointed times, really, and places that we can be like here right now in the presence of the Lord, and places like when we drive up a scenic highway that we find a spot and then we continue to go back to that spot. Maybe it's a seat in your house where you sit with your cup of tea or coffee, and it's your place, and it's your place where you meet with God. That is precious, and I believe precious to the Lord. No place like this. This young lady was testifying about her need to experience God. So as she's blaring, the music's blaring, she said she had the windows down, and she gets a text on her phone on the way up the mountain in the car. Thankfully, she pulls over to answer the text. She pulls over and sees the text, answers the text, and while she's texting, the Lord spoke to her. And the Lord told her, and she said it like this, he did this so very gently, but ever so clearly, as she was texting. It's like the Lord went, excuse me. And this is what she said, he told her, don't get distracted. I'm taking you somewhere. So immediately she texts her friend and she said, hey, God just said, I gotta go. And she said, I gotta go. So she got off that text, started driving again up the scenic highway. And she said that the music's blaring. She drove about 5 more minutes. She's worshiping God. And all of a sudden, God said, ever so gently again, pull over. Now she's looking around, but there's nothing to see here, God. Nothing to see here. Nothing cute here. Nothing beautiful right here. But she pulls over. Okay. And as she pulls over and stops, she's just worshiping God. But she said in her heart that she would turn down the radio because her windows are down. She didn't want to distract anybody that might be passing by. So she went to turn down her radio, but the Lord ever so gently said, don't turn down the radio. So she left it blaring, and she's like, okay, I won't turn down the radio. And then she goes to roll up her window, but the Lord said, don't roll up your window. So she said, okay, I won't roll up my window. And she said she closed her eyes, and she just began to worship God out loud right there. And she didn't roll up her window. She didn't turn down that radio. It was just a blaring, and she was just in the... She said it was such a wonderful, sweet time and presence in the Lord. And then she opened her eyes, and in front of her car stood a hiker, a woman with her arms in the air, worshiping God, because she could hear the music blaring, and she could see the worship going on, and she was experiencing the presence of God. And she said she was in awe of this woman worshiping God out of nowhere. You talk about an appointed time to be in a certain place. Well, let me tell you what else happened. She closed her eyes. She continued to worship God and magnify God for this awesome moment of worshiping Him in His presence out there in the middle of really nowhere special. And then she opened her eyes again, and the woman was gone, but she stood here. And the woman, she rolled her window down and said, "Hello." And the woman said, "Hi, I just have to tell you something. I've been looking for God for a year. I've been away from God, and I've been searching for God for a year. And I found Him. He found me right here." And they just rejoiced. She got out of her car. They prayed together. That's a moment in time. That's a leading of God. That's how God works. He can lead His people. He can lead us to the moment when a person needs us most. And He can lead people to us in a moment when we need God most. God is glorified. God can do these things. And isn't this beautiful? Beautiful. This young woman was guided by the Holy Spirit in a significant moment of time. In the life of one individual soul in need. See how God cares. God cares so very much, just like Kathleen mentioned just a few moments ago. God leads His people. God cares. He reaches out to the uttermost, those that are calling on His name, and He saves them. Truth seekers find God. This is true. We are sent to the world. So God is not limited. Here in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 39, we hear these words, and I'm going to read about Philip and what he has done and what God helped him do. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. That stuck out to me. God took him to a desert road. And he arose and went. It doesn't tell us that Philip knew why, because he did not know why he went, but that he obeyed, just like this young woman in that testimony. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, verse 28 says, and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. This man was seeking God. He had gone from his country some ways away to Jerusalem to worship God. He was seeking God now as he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." It didn't take Philip 2 seconds to get up and start running, because that's what the word says here. So Philip ran. He didn't walk. He ran to meet him. He heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" You see how the dominoes just started falling in place? He didn't skip a beat because he was led by the Holy Spirit. "Do you understand what you're reading?" he asked. And he said, the Ethiopian man said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now that is amazing. The door opened wide for Philip to come up and sit with him and talk with him about the Son of the living God. The very verses from verse 32 says, "Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this." These very verses is what he was reading. "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth." Verse 33 says, "In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. If you did not know Jesus Christ, you would not understand this. It would take a lot to really understand this. You need the Holy Spirit to open this up. And Philip understood this. He knew Jesus. He had witnessed Jesus. He had heard Jesus' teachings. And he knew of this. And we have the Holy Spirit today to help us understand, because Jesus sent him. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I asked, does this prophet say this is? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down to the water. And Philip and the eunuch went, and he baptized him. And verse 39 says, "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." Amazing. This is an amazing moment in time, an absolute connection that God had put in order and ordained. He brought it about. He purposed it. And the people that were involved were two. God cared about both of them. God called the one to go, and the one did not hesitate to go, and that was Philip. And the eunuch was, this Ethiopian man was searching for God. He was desiring to know more about God, to know and experience more of who God is. He wanted to understand what this was all about. He did not know, but when he found out that this was about Jesus and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that Philip shared with him, changed his whole life. To the point where he didn't hesitate. Soon as he saw some water, he's like, "Here's some water. What? Why shouldn't I go ahead and get baptized?" So they did. And he went away rejoicing. He wasn't worried about where Philip went after that. He went away rejoicing and didn't see Philip anymore. But God had just captivated his whole life. Rejoicing. You know, he was seeking. And Matthew 6:36 says this, and there's this promise that, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us." Matthew 6:33. In Acts 17:26-27, the word of God says, "From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and boundaries of their lands." God did this so that they would seek him. All the world. All the people in the world. That they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. Though he's not far away from any of us, he's close to us. But sometimes we don't feel him. Sometimes I remember a time when I didn't know him personally. I began to wonder, what was my purpose in life? Why am I even here? What is the point? That's a bad place to be in. And then God showed me his love. He comes to us in our point of need, and he knocks on our door, and he draws us to himself, and it's up to us to receive him and allow him to come in. And he promises if we open the door, he'll come in and he will dine with us. We need to accept him as our Lord and Savior. And even after accepting him, we need to continue to dine with him. We need to continue to welcome him in. We need to have those places. Those places where we take the time that isn't really ours. My life is not my own. It's bought with a price. my life is in Christ, that we give him honor and praise by sitting at his feet. That's also a way of worshiping God. Sitting at his feet in the Word of God, these words of eternal life. Sitting at his feet, listening for his voice. Sitting at his feet and praying. Amen. Deuteronomy. Luke 11, 9 and 10 says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open." So many people don't ask. "I don't want to bother the Lord," but it's important to ask. Seek God's face. If it's not something that he wants you to have, he will let you know. If it's something that he wants you to have, he will let you know. If he says wait, he will let you know. You will just be helped along the process as you give it to God and give it to God and keep giving it to God. He answers. He never fails. He is there. The devil's a liar. The devil says God is sleeping. God is not active on the throne. The devil's a liar. The devil says, "I have your children. I have them." The devil's a liar. As we pray for them, the walls come down. The Lord battles on our side. There is an open door, an avenue of the Holy Spirit that goes so much further. We could stand here in Easley, South Carolina on a Thursday and pray for someone over in another country that we've never met, in the darkest of places, in a dungeon or in a home or hiding in the woods. As God knows, he will lead his people, and they can pray for people they don't even know. And God will answer and honor that. You see, we're called to a higher calling than we can even fathom. And your prayers matter. Your time with God matters. God wants to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. God is not limited. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him. If you seek him with all your heart and with all of your soul." Sometimes it's important to make sure we're paying attention to this. There are some ifs right here. This is precedent on our behavior, on what we do. If we do this, then this will happen. God's promises are true. He does not lie. He cannot lie. If you call out for insight, Proverbs 2, 3 through 5 says, and cry aloud for understanding. And if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge, the knowledge of God. Just seek him. Just call on him, and he will answer. He answers very profoundly. Working in a small youth group in Elberton, Georgia, Roger and I saw something amazing. Probably have shared it with many of you already, many times, but I feel that I need to share it today. One of the young men messaged my husband the other day from this youth group. And it was very encouraging. The youth group was just two or three at the beginning, and me and my husband. And it grew to like 60, just kept growing. And we saw revival. They didn't want to go home. They wanted to pray all night. Now, the church was in disarray and discord, and they were really fighting. This particular church, there was some things going on that should have never gone on. But something happened in that youth group because we sought God. It took a good little bit of seeking God. We had to press through. God heard us every time we prayed, and there was a battle for their souls, and God was at work, and the enemy was fighting, and we were pushing forward. And it was tough, and I'm not saying that we were perfect in what we did. We had struggles, and we had to turn it over to God, and then over to God, and then over to God. And we saw God move mountains, move this, move that, do this, all kinds of things. And I have wondered about these folks over the years, after I saw a great revival in the youth, to where they didn't want to leave the church. They didn't want to leave where we were meeting. They wanted to stay. They had to ask their parents. We had to ask their parents because they couldn't stop praying. The Holy Spirit moved on them, fell on them, and they were being slain in the spirit, as you say, laying all over the floor in that area, in this like upper room, on the stairs, up in the balcony up there above, and they were just praying. They weren't talking to one another. They weren't counseling one another. They weren't reading the. They were seeking God. And I was amazed as I climbed through them, listening and looking. And I was just amazed at what God had done. Although I had asked for it, I was still so amazed. And to this very day, it just stirs my soul to know that I saw and tasted a little bit of what God can do. I'm expecting that here in Easley, South Carolina. And it doesn't have to happen in a building. It can happen in the parking lot. It can happen in an event that God is to be glorified. The other day, this young man came to my mind. And every once in a while, they will. And so I prayed. I started to pray for that whole youth group, but then when I got to the second person, I prayed for this particular young man. And when I got to the second person, the prayer kind of lifted, and I was like, okay, and you know how you pray a little bit for someone, and you feel a compassion for them, but it was like, okay, no, this person, pray for this person. And the Holy Spirit led me to pray some more. And then he messaged. We haven't heard from him in over 30 years, probably. How old am I now? And he was praising God and glorifying God. He had even come close to where we lived in Central to buy a lawnmower. He's still worshiping God today. And God reminded me and brought me to this message. God can take you and use you in places that are hard to be used in. And where this young woman drove up the mountain and she didn't see anybody. Where Philip went to the desert place, not knowing what he'd find. Why? Okay, we're going. When God speaks to you, listen, go. God sends us. Jeremiah says this, the book of Jeremiah, in 29:11-13. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. When you call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with what? Your whole heart. Amen. So God does send us. God wants us to go. God wants us to make a difference in the world. That is the purpose, to worship God in our daily living, with our mouth, with our whole heart, with our being. All that we have is to his glory. So go. God wants us to go. God wants us to go out into the roads of the world, to trust God to lead those who are seeking him in. He has a place for them right here. You can see it. He has a place for them right here. You can see it. Look. Look at these chairs. But he has a place for him, for those people to come to him, even more than in the sanctuary. And he wants you and me to go out and win the souls that are lost. Matthew 4:19, Jesus says, "Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Come follow me, Jesus says. I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 22:9-10 says, So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out, and they went into the streets and gathered all the people they could find. Bad and good, it didn't matter. They gathered everyone they could find to fill the wedding hall. And it says, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. That's our job. That's our mission. Bring them in. Luke 14:16-23 says this. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at a time of the banquet, the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." You know what they did? They began to make excuses, excuse after excuse after excuse. And we find that in the church community, excuses are given, excuse after excuse after excuse. Some of the ones that are listed here say this. In verse 18 says, the first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. I've got no time. I've bought a field. I need to go see it. Please excuse me. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I need to go examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Maybe she's not willing to go. I don't know. But we can come up with excuses and miss out on what God has for us. We could go into what this means a little further, but I'm not going to do that today. Verse 21 says, so the servant came and reported all these things to his master, and then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes in the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. Bring them in. And the servant says, sir, what you have commanded has been done. And still there's room. And then he says, the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel the people that my house may be full. Reaching further, digging deeper into the community, reaching out as far as we can go. It's my job, it's your job, it's our call, it's our mission here at Easley First. There are people who need Easley First. They need you. They need you. They need your prayers. They need your encouragement. They need you to share Jesus with them. And Jesus calls us to it. God guides us. There is a great need to be led by the Spirit. That's for sure. You cannot be led by the Spirit without the Spirit of God. You cannot be led by His Spirit without a relationship with Jesus Christ. You cannot be led by the Spirit just because you feel like doing something good. That's not being led by the Spirit. The Spirit's leading us to do things. Sometimes those things are really easy and sometimes they're very difficult. But yet He is in charge, and He is sovereign. He need be in charge. We just need listen. I don't know about you, but I remember the time when I was learning how to witness to those in the community. I was learning how to open up my mouth and say, Jesus loves you. I don't know if you remember the first time you ever did that, and I was like, I don't know, at Ingles or Walmart, and the cashier was there, and I was like, okay. Jesus loves you. And I think I shot out of there pretty fast after that. I was just really shy, and I still am today. This is a miracle that I'm standing up here. But God began to work, and God promised that he would complete the work that he began in me and in you. So stepping out is important. The woman smiled at me. She probably received something that I didn't see in the moment because of my fumbling around with it. But God took what little I had and touched her with it. That's all we need, is to give him what we have. Give God what you have, and he will bless it. It's his work. It's his work. We see Philip here. He sensed the impulse, that tug, that movement, that direction of the Holy Spirit to approach that man. He sensed the man needed Christ. He sensed it because the Holy Spirit showed him the man needed Christ. The immense need we have today is to be guided by the Spirit of God. That is the most important thing that we need right now in the moment, is to be guided by the Spirit of God. We need to be praying, and I'm praying for myself that God will set me right in the moment, that I would be able to meet him right where they need him at, and that he would give me the words to say to them, the prayer to pray for them, and that I would open up my mouth and say it, and that I would open up my mouth and pray it, and that I would obey God. And you know what he does? He helps me to do just that. As I am growing, and I'm growing, and we never stop growing, he continues to show me, as he will you, and has you, showing you his will through the power and the presence and the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know what happens? We can expect successful results when we are guided by the Holy Spirit. You won't fail, because God doesn't fail, and it's his work. Romans 8:14 says this: "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." John 16:13 says this: "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you to all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come." He will lead you. He will show you. He will tell you. He told Philip, go. And Philip went. That's all he needed. That's all the information Philip needed to obey. Go. Acts 10:19 and 20 show us another example. While Peter was still thinking about the vision that Peter saw on that day, he just kind of disagreed with. He's still thinking about the vision. The Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate. Go with them, for I have sent them." And Peter did that. God can interrupt us in his way of telling us to move and do something. I remember one time, I was here in Easley, and I was driving out of a parking lot, and I was fixing to turn to go home, but God said, "No, wait." And I'm like perplexed. I'm like, "For what?" I'm waiting. Okay, so I'm as perplexed, because I was arguing in here, like, what is this that I don't feel at peace about going this way or that way? I'm sitting in my car, and I'm like learning how God's talking to me. I'm learning this. He says, "Wait." So I'm waiting. Where do you want me to go? And in the moment, I'm thinking, okay, I'll text my pastor. And I will text my pastor. "Pastor, do you need me?" "Yes, come." And I went. He told me where to go. Meet him in the hospital. I went into the hospital room, and his wife's sitting on the bed. And he's sitting here. We're fixing to find out the news. The doctor's coming back soon. The doctor come through the door. He didn't want to speak at first because I was sitting there, but she said, go ahead. And he told them that the cancer had returned. I was right there to pray. God only knows why me. But in that moment, there I was to pray with him. In that horrible, horrible, horrible moment, I could have missed God and not waited, but it was so profound. No, don't go home. God knew. He still knows today. Praise the Lord. And she's in glory. Praise the Lord. Acts 13:2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, they were truly seeking God in Acts 13:2. The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. You see how God leads in all kinds of areas, in ministries, and in setting things in order. We need cover everything we do here at Easley First in prayer, with fasting and seeking God's face, because God wants to use this body of believers. He wants to use you. He wants you to do exactly what he wants in this world. For his glory, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the good news. And do not listen to the enemy who says you are not enough. Because if you are saved, if you have given your life to Jesus and covered by the blood of the Lamb, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You have everything you need. You have your testimony. That testimony of who Jesus is in your life, how he saved your soul. You have the testimony of the Word of God. Acts 16:6 says this, and this is Paul going in a direction and the Lord changing it. So Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region. And I'm going to go on. I can't pronounce that word. I apologize. And Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, he was kept from it, but directed otherwhere, and other places. God knows where we need to be on time, and we will be there on time. Just follow his lead. Do not doubt. Do not fear. When Philip obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit, he testified of what he knew of Jesus. He had been with Jesus, and that's all you have to do. Be with Jesus and testify about him. Be with him, spend time with him, talk to people about him. So God does prosper us in our way. You know, Philip saw some amazing things. Philip saw this man. He desired baptism and made an immediate request of baptism. He was baptized and he believed in the Son of God immediately. He believed as soon as he heard the word. As soon as he understood, God opens up the understanding. The Holy Spirit does the work. We don't have to make it happen. We just need to share the gospel. The gospel is powerful. The blood of Jesus, the Lamb of the God, makes a way where there sometimes seems to be no way. But if we'll share Jesus with the people that we know, if we'll open our mouth and not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't listen to the devil who says, shut up. He'll say, shut up as much as he can. As soon as you keep doing it, he'll try to shut you up again. You just speak in love and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. And watch God do the work. Watch God do the work. He can change them. He can save them. John 3:16 does say, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do not pick and choose who you witness to. Witness to them all. Anyone that the Lord leads you to, and that pulling and drawing you to him, and you, it's a remarkable experience when God says click and you have just something happens and you are told by the Holy Spirit, talk to them, smile at them, tell them Jesus loves them, tell them the gospel message, take a moment with them. Do you need prayer? Can I pray with you? Can our church pray for you? I'll put you on the prayer list. God will open the door. God will work the work. John 5:24 says this, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." This is what happened to this man from Ethiopia. John 6:35 says, "Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." You've seen some people that are hungry and thirsty, seeking all kinds of things in this world. Romans 10:9-10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I want to be about the Lord's business. I don't want to be distracted by the world. I don't want to be a lazy Christian leaning on my own, waiting around. I want to be active. I want to be fervent in prayer. I want to be fervent in the work of the Lord. I want to be compassionate. I want to see God move. I want to see what you see in Acts 39. With this man from Ethiopia. I want to see the world rejoicing because they know who Jesus is. And you know, he is worthy of all praise, of all honor, of all glory, from all time, from every language, throughout eternity. He's worthy.